టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 36. కాళేన మీలిత ధియాం అవమృశ్య నృణం స్తోకాయుషాం స్వనిగమో బత దూర పార ఆవిర్హితస్త్వనుయుగం సహి సత్యవాక్యం సత్యవత్యా వేదద్రుమం విటపశో విభజిష్యతి స్మ.
The Lord Himself, in His incarnation as the son of Satyavati, Vyasadev, will consider His compilation of the Vedic literature to be very difficult for the less intelligent persons with short life, and thus He will divide the tree of Vedic knowledge into different branches according to the circumstances of the particular age.
Kalena milita dhyam avamrishyan rinam. So kalena is in due course of time. Milita dhiya means people who are not very intelligent. This is a description of the Kali Yuga people. So considering their difficulty and their short lifespan, stoka ayusham, avimrishya, their difficulties. So Vyasadev has divided these Vedas into different sections. So stokayusham swanigamodh bata durapāraha. So it's very difficult for Kali Yuga people to study this all literatures and then understand them. And Vyasadeva, out of his great compassion, he could divide them. So avirhitah tu anuyugam sahi satyavatyam. He is the son of Satyavati. He is none other than the Lord who incarnated specifically for the purpose of providing Vedic literatures for people in general. So Veda Drumam means the tree of Vedic literature. Vitapasho means that was divided into branches, division of branches, there are tree. Vibhajashyati Sma. So he will divide. So he is saying about Vyasadeva. Here Brahmaji is predicting the incarnation of Vyasadeva. So they have no information, these Kali Yuga people, they have no information of eternity of life. Maximum people will live up to 100 years. But in the previous ages, people used to live 1000 years, 10,000 years, 1 lakh years, like that. But Kali Yuga people cannot even conceive of it because of the age. So, but Krishna, compassionate father of all living entities, imparts unto them the vast knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam and also Puranas and Mahabharat. 37th verse. Devadvisham nigamavartmane nishthitanam purbhirmayana vihata bhiradrishya turbhi lokan ghanatya లోకాన్ ఘనతాం మతి విమోహమతి ప్రలోభం వేషం విధాయ బహుభాష్యత ఔపధర్మ్యం.
When the atheist, after being well versed in the Vedic scientific knowledge, annihilate inhabitants of different planets, flying unseen in the sky on unbuilt rockets prepared by the great scientist Maya, the Lord will bewilder their minds by dressing himself attractively as Buddha and will preach on sub-religious principles.
So there is Buddha incarnation. So he annihilates the inhabitants of different planets, flying unseen in the sky on well-built rockets. He will bewilder the minds of people by dressing himself attractively as Buddha. So this Buddha is different from the popular Buddha that we know. That's what Prabhupada says. So the incarnation of Lord Buddha is not the same Buddha incarnations we have in the present history of mankind. So this is a different Buddha. Such now the other Buddha, according to Jiva Goswami, Buddha incarnation mentioned in this verse appeared in a different Kali Yuga. So in the duration of life of one Manu, there are many, more than 72 Kali Yugas, and in one of them, the particular type of Buddha would appear. So Brahmaji is telling Narada Muni, and then he can speak of any Kali Yuga. So our, the popularly known Buddha, he incarnated for the purpose of stopping this animal sacrifices. And nindasi yagna vidhe ha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshavadhrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hare. So nindasi yagna vidhe, you know this atma vidya, you don't know Vijayade Goswami's Dasavatara Sutram. So nindasi yagna vidhe means people are misusing the yagna vidhis which are mentioned in the scriptures. Ahaha shruti jatam. So how to perform sacrifices are actually mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. People are taking shelter of those scriptures and performing animal sacrifices to actually kill animals unnecessarily many times. So sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam. While as Buddha has seen, so the Lord has seen the piteous condition of all these animals, and there was compassion in his heart. So then he appeared as Buddha to stop these animal sacrifices. So he said, stop this animal sacrifice. This is violence. So ahimsa paramo dharma, he said. But ahimsa is not paramo dharma. It's dharma definitely. It should not cause violence to other living entities, but it cannot be the ultimate dharma. Paramo dharma ne. So paradharma is savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje. So as a part of that bhakti, if you have to commit some violence, one may have to do. That's what Arjuna did. So violence against miscreants who are opposing dharma is not actually violence, that's actually dharma. So, but Buddha had to do this because people are using Vedic literatures, but they are misusing them. Right, quoting Vedic literatures, they are going against the Vedic culture. They are taking the Vedic reference only, but the path is supposed to be in this direction, right direction. They are going in the opposite direction. Buddha said, stop it. Stop going in this direction. So he stopped Vedic sacrifices, and then people said, hey, Vedas mentioned this. Then he said, I reject Vedas. Forget Vedas. Stop this animal sacrifice. So he stopped the vehicle. Someone has to turn it this side, right? Then Shankaracharya came. He re-established the Vedas by saying that you are God. So Buddha philosophy is quite prevalent. Then people are saying ahimsa, ahimsa, no Veda business, they are saying. Then Shankaracharya said, oh, you come. You bring in Vedas. So what Shankaracharya taught is also more or less atheism only, Buddhism only, covered Buddhism. So he brought, re-established the Vedas by introducing this Mayavad philosophy, aham brahmasmi, he and you, both are same. So then, again, Vedas are re-established, only the gadi turned this way, but someone has to take it forward, right, in the right direction. We were discussing of the vehicle going towards the right direction. Vedic scriptures are supposed to take you back to Godhead. They are supposed to go in this direction. So, because of rampant animal killing and sacrifices, that's going in a different direction. So Buddha stopped it. Then Shankaracharya turned it this way. Then Ramanujacharya came. Then Madhvacharya. Then all the other Vaishnavacharyas came and then said, oh, it's not Advaita, it's Dvaita. Then, oh, it's Visishta Advaita. It's Dvaita Advaita. Then finally Mahaprabhu came and said, Achintya Bheda Bheda. Yes, they are one, but they are different also. Simultaneously one and different. So this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva just summarizes the entire Vedic philosophy. Right. So that's what Mahaprabhu's contribution is. Now people are on the right track, whoever takes shelter of Mahaprabhu's instructions. So Buddha also has his role to play. So Buddha incarnates when people are most materialistic. So Buddha preaches common sense. So unless one is humble and prideless, one cannot be harmless and non-violent. So ultimately one has to be a devotee, otherwise there is no religion. 38th verse. Yeah, this is a different incarnation of Buddha. So his activities are not very well described apart from this one verse. He is coming from a different Kali Yuga. We discussed about current Kali Yuga Buddha. Yarhyalayeshvapi satam nahareer kathasyuh.
Yarhyalayeshvapi satam nahareer kathasyuh.
Pashandino dvijajana vrishala nrudevah.
Pashandino dvijajana vrishala nrudevah.
Svaha svadhavashadati smagiro nayatra.
Svaha svadhavashadati smagiro nayatra.
Shasta bhavishyati kalyer bhagavan yugante.
Shasta bhavishyati kalyer bhagavan yugante.
Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exists no topics on the subjects of God, even at the residence of the so-called saints and respectable gentlemen of the three higher castes, and when the power of government is transferred to the hands of ministers elected from the low one Sudra class or those less than them, and when nothing is known of the techniques of sacrifice, even by word, at the time the Lord will appear as the supreme chastiser.
So this is at the end of Kali Yuga. Lord comes in the form of Kalki, supreme chastiser. Shasta, Shasta means chastiser. So in the 10th canto, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa, Mallanam, Ashanirinam, Naramaram, Strinam, Smaro, Murtiman. You know this verse, very popular verse. How 10 categories of people in the wrestling arena of Kamsa perceived Krishna in 10 different emotions. Mallana Mashanir, the wrestlers are seeing him as thunderbolt. So like the different categories of people perceived him in different ways. So Shasta Sapitro or Sishuhu. So Mrityar Bhojapate Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito Rangam Gatasagridaha. In the first two lines, Mallana Mashaniranam Naravaram Strinam Swaro Murtiman Gopanam sato kshitibhujam shasta. Asatam kshitibhujam shasta. Asatam means bad. Kshitibhujam means kings. For bad kings, Krishna appeared like shasta, chastiser. So even Krishna also exhibited that mood of being the chastiser. However, as Kalki avatar, he does only chastisement. Krishna's one feature is chastisement, and he has many other features. But Kalki's only feature is chastisement, supreme chastiser. So that way Krishna is Purna Purushottam. So even Dvijas forget holy name. What to speak of the pastimes of the Lord? Names are forgotten. Forget about the activities of the Lord. That's the situation at the end of Kali Yuga. Saints and Varanas and Ashramas are judged by proportion of knowledge in science of Godhead. So, all these Vedic standards, they just become like decorations on dead body. So, at that time, Kalki would come and chastise all these people. 39th verse. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prachesha. Sthane ta dharma makha manva maravanisha. Ante tva dharma haramanyu vishashuradya.
Ante tva dharma haramanyu vishashuradya.
Maya vibhutaya imah purushakti bhaja.
At the beginning of the creation, there are Pinans, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. but at the end there is irreligion, and the Lord Shiva and the atheist full of anger, etc. All of them are all different representative manifestation of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord.
So Lord appears as Guna avataras also. We have discussed so many other avataras. So this is about Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Prajapatis, sages. So all these people are participating in the manifestation of this material world. They are also different representative manifestations of Lord's energy. They are like vibhutis, etc. Okay. So this is the conclusion of all the incarnations of the Lord. So Brahmaji described about the Purushavataras in the beginning, how the Lord creates this world, Mahavishnu. Yad rupam, yad adhishtanam, yad asrishtam. So there are six questions that Narada Muni asked, and Brahmaji answered all of them. As a part of those answers, he basically described the activities of three Purusha incarnations. How Mahavishnu creates this entire material world. So many millions of universes would come out. And Garbhodakasa Vishnu would manifest the Virat Roop within the universe. All these are described. Then after that, in the seventh chapter, he describes other incarnations of the Lord. So Purusha incarnations are over. Now there are Leela Avataras. So like that, so many incarnations are enumerated very briefly, not going so much into details. So many of these incarnations will be described in future cantos. And Brahmaji also gave a very special preference to Krishna's incarnation. Krishna's activities are summarized here very briefly. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna's activities are summarized three times. Summarized two times, elaborated once. 10th canto is an elaboration of Krishna's activities. So in the second canto, 7th chapter, Brahmaji presents the gist. Very short. He killed Putana, he killed Shakatasura, he killed Kaliya. Like that he just enumerates without going into details. But each of these verses are like one full chapter in 10th canto. And in the 3rd canto, Uddhava summarizes. Uddhava, when he speaks to Vidura, so he also narrates all the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and Dwaraka. So now that is the conclusion of incarnations. From 40th verse onwards, Brahmaji speaks some very crucial verses for our understanding of the glories of the Lord.
Nantam vidamyahamami munayograjaste.
40th verse is not done, okay, sorry.
Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Kritakatamor Hitartha.
Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Kritakatamor Hitartha.
Yah Parthivan Yapikavir Vimane Rajamsi.
Yah Parthivan Yapikavir Vimane Rajamsi.
Chaskam Bhaya Swaraha Sakshaklata Tri Prishtham.
Chaskam Bhaya Swaraha.
Yasmatri samya sadanad urukam payanam.
Who can describe complete the process of Vishnu? Even the scientist who might have counted the particles of the atoms of the universe cannot do so, because it is he only who in his form of Tribhikrama moved his legs effortlessly beyond the topmost planet Satyaloko up to the neutral state of the three modes of material nature, and all were moved.
So after describing the Lord's glories and incarnations, Brahmaji very honestly admits that I have no ability to describe. So who can describe the Lord's glories? He says, Vishnornu virya gananam katamor hitatha. So who is that person who is qualified and who has the capacity to enumerate the glories of Vishnu? Virya gananam. Gananam means enumerating or counting the glories of the Lord. You can't keep an account. How much is the expenditure to run this one small organization? So then accounts team will have to track the records. Okay, this department has this much expenditure, that department has this expenditure. Like that he will track. So just within just one small institute only, there is lot of complication in maintaining the accounts, is it not? What to speak of a very big multinational organization? No, can you conceive of keeping track of all those accounts? Now in our small temple only, to keep track of all the payment requests and sharing amount between different departments and approving the requests and then managing budgets within one small department of one small temple itself is such a huge task. What to speak of keeping track of the accounts of so many. Just imagine all ISKCON temples are just running on one accounts. There's one accounts department for all 600 temples of ISKCON. All money is managed by like one place only, one team of people only. How much they have to manage. And ISKCON is like one organization compared to the accounts that are existing throughout the world. Now, in each and every planet, Krishna is performing so many pastimes, each and every universe. So multiple times he would incarnate. Now just count this part. How many manvantaras are there in one day of Brahma? 14 manvantaras. So in one day of Brahma. So in one day, there is an incarnation of the Lord, category of incarnation of the Lord called manvantara incarnation. So it means there are 14 manvantara incarnations within one day. One day into 30 is 1 month. 30 into 12 is 1 year. Into 100 is lifetime of Brahma. So within one lifetime of Brahma, these many manvantara incarnations are there. And there's only one category. There are Shaktyavish incarnations. Purusha incarnations only are 3. Gunavataras are only 3. But Leela avataras are unlimited. All this is within one universe only. And go to some other universe. Similar list, maybe bigger list will be there. So now each of these incarnations is only about count of the incarnations of the Lord. Each incarnation has multiple pastimes. And in each of those pastimes, he would exhibit multiple qualities. So where is the scope of counting all of them? You can't even count the number of incarnations, what to speak of the qualities and leelas exhibited by those incarnations. So Brahmaji is honestly admitting his inability to count them. Vishnornu virya gananam katamorhatiha. So how can I enumerate, he says. So one can never be proud of one's ability to describe Krishna. Because how much ever you describe, it will fall short of his glories. Right? His glories are unlimited. And you are not even scratching even the slightest surface of his glories, right? They are unlimited. Brahmaji is unable to glorify, what to speak of you and me. So this is a very instructive verse. Not only this, all the next verses. So Prabhupada writes that there are 7 coverings of material universe. So with this, with the Lord's toe, he made a hole through all these coverings. And the casual water just came out in the form of Ganges into this world. It purified all the 3 planets. So there are 7 coverings. We cannot conceive of imagining the 7 coverings, and we can't even draw the picture also properly. Different people will draw in different ways. So what to speak of piercing that surface of the universe. Piercing the coverings of the universe. 7 coverings. And each covering is 10 times thicker than the previous covering. And that is done by whom? Vamandev, who is one incarnation of Krishna. He is not even complete. Of course, we can say everybody is complete. Deeparchire, Vahidasantaram, Abhyupetya. But Krishna is more complete in terms of manifesting various types of pastimes. In manifesting all rasas and beauty. Venu Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, etc. So an incarnation of the Lord can exhibit such power. So what to speak of the Lord himself. So there is no end to Krishna's glories and no one can count them. Same thing he says in the next verse. Nantam vidamyaham ami munayograjaste
Nantam vidamyaham ami munayograjaste
Maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye
Maya balasya purushasya
Gayan gunan dashashatanana adideva Seshodhuna pinabhavasyati nastyaparam
Seshodhuna pinabhavasyati nastyaparam
ಕೃತಂ ವಿದಾಮ್ಯಹಮಿ ಮುನಯೋಗ್ರಜಸ್ತೆ ಮಾಯಾಬಲಸ್ಯ ಪುರುಷಸ್ಯ ಕುತೋ ವರಾಯೇ
ಮಾಯಾಬಲಸ್ಯ ಪುರುಷಸ್ಯ ಕುತೋ ವರಾಯೇ
ಗಾಯನ್ ಗುಣಾನ್ ದಶಶತಾನನ ಆದಿದೇವ
ಗಾಯನ್ ಗುಣಾನ್ ದಶಶತಾನನ ಆದಿದೇವ
ಶೇಷೋಧುನಾಪಿ ಸಮವಸ್ಯತಿ ನಾಸ್ಯ ಪಾರಂ
ಶೇಷೋಧುನಾಪಿ ಸಮವಸ್ಯತಿ ನಾಸ್ಯ ಪಾರಂ
ನ ಅಂತಂ ವಿದಾಂ ವಿದಾಮಿ ಅಹಂ ಅಮಿ ಮನಯೋಗ್ರಜಾಸ್ತೆ. He says that there is no end to the glories of the Lord, neither I nor sages. Vidami aham ami munayogra jaste. All these munis and myself, both of us, we can never reach the end of Lord's glories. Na antam, there is no anta only. There is no end only. How can you reach the end if it is not there existing? So, munayo agra jaste. Agra jaste means, who is saying this to whom? Brahmaji is telling this to Narada Muni. Narada Muni, there are so many munis who are born before you. They don't understand. And certainly I am born before you. I am your father. So I also don't understand. So people, I don't understand, and people who are born before you cannot understand. Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye. So what to speak of other people? So what to speak of other people who are born after us, know about him? Even Krishna himself says, Name vidhu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Name vidhu suraganaha, all these demigods cannot understand me. Prabhavam na maharshayaha, even maharshis also cannot understand. Same thing Brahmaji is saying. Brahma is a demigod, munis are all these sages. So demigods and sages cannot understand the Lord. So gayan gunan dasha shatanana adi deva. Gayan gunan means, his qualities are being glorified. By whom? Dasha Shatanana Adideva. Dasha Shata is what? 10 into 100. That is 1000. So, this Sesha, Sesho Dhunapi. So, Sesha means this Lord's incarnation, Sankarsana, the Seshanag. So, that Sesha is enumerating the glories of the Lord since time immemorial with his 1000 hoods, 1000 mouths. Still, Sesha could not enumerate. Sesha could not even list them down. So if Sesha with his thousands of mouths cannot enumerate, what to speak of you and me? He says. So Sesha is also considered an incarnation of the Lord. That's why it is said Adi Deva, the first incarnation. Nasi aparam. So it is extremely na asya aparam. So na asya param. So it is very unfathomable. Lord's glories, so one cannot imagine to enumerate them. He has unlimited expansions. So the omnipotent personality of Godhead has primarily three potential manifestations. They are internal, external, and marginal. So as such, potential expansions can never be calculated by anyone, because even the Lord himself, as an incarnation of Sesha, cannot estimate the potencies. Although he has been describing them continuously with his 1000 faces.
Yes, sir. Lord Ananda Prabhuji, like you said, that he is describing God's glories since time immemorial. So, to whom is he describing and where?
He described them to four Kumaras. It comes in the third canto. Okay. And he describes, he need not have an audience, he keeps glorifying.
This is going on, right?
Yeah, it can go on. They are absorbed in the glories of the Lord. They keep on describing. They don't need audience also. But definitely, four Kumaras heard from Lord Sankarsan. It comes in the third canto, eighth chapter.
In what place this is happening?
Bathard. I mean, Bathard means lower planetary systems.
ಯಶಾಂ ಸ ಏಷ ಭಗವಾನ್ ದಯಯೇದನಂತಃ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮನಾಶ್ರಿತ ಪದೋ ಯದಿ ನಿರ್ವ್ಯಲೀಕಂ ತೇ ದುಸ್ತರಾಮತಿ ತರಂತಿ ಚ ದೇವಮಾಯಾಂ ನೈಷಾಂ ಮಮಾಹಮಿತಿ ಧೀಹಿ ಸ್ವಸೃಗಾಲ ಭಕ್ಷ್ಯೇ ಯೇಷಾಂ ಸ ಏಷ ಭಗವಾನ್ ದಯಯೇದನಂತಃ sarvatmanashritapado yadi nirvyalikam
sarvatmanashritapado yadi nirvyalikam
te dustaravaditaranti cha devamayam
te dustaravaditaranti cha devamayam
naisham mamahamiti dhihi swasrugala bhakshye
naisham mamahamiti dhihi swasrugala bhakshye
Esham sa esha bhagavan dayayedananta. The Supreme Lord is extremely merciful. Sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirvyalikam. This second line sets the standard of devotion, devotional service. Sarvatmana ashrita pado means taking shelter of that Supreme Lord's lotus feet with one's complete vigor and existence. Unalloyed surrender. Sarvatmanashritapado means taking shelter by all means. Yadi nirvyalikam, one more point he adds. First he says, this ashrita word is prefixed by sarvatmana and suffixed by this nirvyalikam. Nirvyalikam means without any pretense, without any motivations, without any selfish ambitions, without any duplicity. So that is nirvyalikam, avyalikam. So sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirvyalikam. Yadi means if you can surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord by all means without any duplicity and pretense, without having any other personal motives and agendas. It's basically ahituki bhakti. Then te dustaram atitaranti cha devamayam. You can easily cross over this maya, this external potency of the Lord, which Dustaram, it's very unsurpassable. Lord's external energy is unsurpassable, but you can cross over that energy easily if your surrender to the Lord is by all means and without any pretense. But Naisha Mamaha Mitidhihi Swasrugala Bhakshe. But this is not possible for people who are having this Mamaha Mitidhihi. When their intelligence is absorbed in the conceptions of Mama and Aham, me and mine, it's difficult for them. Svasrugala bhakshyehe. So, this body, they're so attached to this body, me and mine. They think that this body is me and or this body is mine. Or all bodily possessions are mine. They think like that. But this body is ultimately meant to be eaten by svasrugala. Sva is dogs, srugala is jackals. Bhakshye. This body is meant to be eaten by dogs and jackals. And these people are considering themselves these material bodies and they're so attached to these bodies. So, where is the question of surrender for them? So, but giving up this conception of aham mameti, if one surrenders unto the Lord by all means, without any pretense, then the Lord will show them mercy. Right? So, Lord is favorable towards them. Dayaye anantaha. He is unlimitedly potential. Okay. So the unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great His expansion of divine diverse energy. So the materialist is always busy working for the welfare of the material body, not only his own but also others. There is extended sense gratification also. So this mamaham conception is like thinking in terms of I and mine, one's immediate possessions, but it can extend to one's family members, one's community members, one's village, one's town, one's district, one's state, one's country, one's planet, one's conceptions, like that. So bodily conception is of two categories. It can be of multiple categories. There is gross bodily conception of identifying oneself with one's body, which is made of one's gross body, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. There is subtle bodily conception also, that is identifying oneself with one's mind, intelligence, ego. If one is so attached to one's mental concoctions, if one is so attached to one's intellectual convictions, if one is so attached to one's ego, false ego, then that is also bodily conception. So one may give up this bodily conception on a gross level. Okay, at least we have some theoretical understanding. We are not these bodies. Okay. We will not put some fair and lovely creams or
dress ourselves in like coat, tie, and all these people, made typical materialistic people, what they do outside in taking care of their bodies, that much to that extent we may not be taking care of our bodies. But especially in the renounced order, this gross bodily conception may be very, very minimal compared to materialistic people outside. But subtle bodily conception can be very strong. And the attention that we give to gross bodily conception is minimal, so that much focus can go in subtle bodily conception. We have to be more careful. Make sense? We are more attached to one's mental conceptions, more attached to one's egoistic ideas, ego, identity. So one needs to be very careful. Intellectual convictions, one needs to be very careful. So next, 43rd verse. 43 to 45 is one set. Vedahamanga paramasya yoga mayam. Yoyam bhavascha bhagavan atha daitya varya. Patni manusca manusca tadatmajascha. Prajina barhirubhiranga utadhruvascha. Ikshvaku raila muchukunda videha gadhi. Raghvam varisha sagara gayana shudhaya. Mandhataral mandhatalarka Shatadhan varu ranti deva. Deva vrato balimamu tarayodi lipa. Saubhadrutanka shibidevala pippalada. Sarasvatodhava parashara bhuri senaha. Yenye vibhishana hanu madupendara datta. Parthasti shena vidura sruta deva varyaha.
O Narada, although the potency of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through yogamaya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of atheist family. Namely, Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Satarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavarta, Uttanapada, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti, Prachinabahi, Rubhu, Anga, the father of Bena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikhwaku, Aila, Muchukunda, Maharaj Janaka, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusa, Mandhata, Alarka, Sattadhanve, Anu, Rantideva, Hisma, Bali, Amrutraya, Dilipa, Sauhari, Utanka, Sibi, Devala, Pipalada, Saraswata, Uddhava, Parasara, Hurisena, Vivisana, Hanuman, Sukadeva Goswami, Arjuna, Arishtisena, Vidura, Srutadeva, etc.
So, 42nd verse, he spoke about surrender, unalloyed surrender. Now, he is giving so many examples of people who have surrendered. So many devotees he spoke. Right, like Devahuti, Akuti, Uttanapada, Priyavrata, Prahalada, Shibi, Uddhava, Parashara, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Shuka, Arjuna, so many devotees he is enumerating. So, it's not that we don't have proper examples to look forward to. If only we have to do unalloyed surrender. Bhagavatam is filled with such examples. Most of these people are described in this Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj comes in the 9th canto, Bhishma 1st canto, Bali 8th canto, then Ikshvaku 9th canto, Prachinabarhi 4th canto, Prasuti, Devahuti, Akuti, Uttana, Pada, Parivarta, all these people are coming from third canto middle to fifth canto middle. So like that, all these pastimes are described of all these devotees. So, next, all the past, present and future devotees, how did they know the Lord's potencies, Lord's gunas? So not by mental speculation, but by devotional service. So this, one cannot know the Lord by limited instruments of knowledge, which are senses, microscope, telescope, propagates, all that. So mental speculators, mental speculation by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes cannot aid advancement of knowledge. Even in despair, by dismissing the case abruptly, second, by declaring the non-existence of God. They'll start doing some experiment and then they'll find that it's not going anywhere. They'll dismiss it. Or they will start doing something to find God and they don't find God because they're not qualified and they think that, and they declare that there is no God only. So this is how the modern experiments are going on many times. So Prabhupada writes, a sane person ceases to speculate on subjects beyond his jurisdiction. So what is inconceivable? Achintya. Achintya means achintya khalu ye bhava natam tarkena yojit, like that one verse comes. So by tarka, just by argumentation, you cannot understand things that are beyond one's senses, beyond one's mental and physical and intellectual capabilities. That's why it is called achintya, right? It's inconceivable. How can you understand something which is inconceivable by your simple material senses and intelligence? It's if you can understand by your using your senses and intelligence, why is it called achintya? Why is it called inconceivable? The very fact that it is inconceivable means you cannot conceive it. Simple. You don't have the capacity to conceive it with your material instruments, material senses. So, a small child cannot lift this shelf here. A 5-year-old child comes. He has to acknowledge it. I can't handle it. Done. So, if he thinks, oh, I can lift it. So, people only will laugh at him. Like that. So, if something is beyond one's capacity, one has to admit, it's beyond my capacity. So then he has to surrender to all these devotees who are mentioned. Shiva, Prahalada, Manu. So these are all great devotees. So better inquire from them and then understand about the Lord. And how did they understand? By Sarvatmanashrita Pado Yadi Nirvyalikam. By taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, Sarvatmana by all means Nirvyalikam, without any pretense. Then he can understand. So, sane person ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of tiny brain. He tries to learn to surrender unto God. Fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing path of experimental knowledge will not take one anywhere. So, even Brahmaji says, Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartaha. One has to give up his jnane prayasa. Give up your endeavors to speculate and cultivate knowledge. Trying to figure out things on your own, independently, without any reference to any superior authority or a bona fide scripture or the guidance of Vaishnavas. If you are trying to figure out what is the goal of life and trying to achieve that goal of life on your own, without any reference to guru or sadhu or shastra, then that is useless endeavor. Jnane prayasa udapasya, by giving up such a speculative endeavor, namanta eva, if one offers obeisances to jivanti sanmukharitam and to devotees of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and bhavadeya vartam, and he hears from them Lord's vartas, Lord's activities, then he has hope to even conquer the Supreme Lord, who is unconquerable. Sthane sthita, you don't have to change your position. Brahmachari, vanaprastha, grahastha, sannyasi, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, whatever it may be. You don't have to change your position. Sthane sthita, shruti gatam tanuvan manobhir. You may be situated in whatever is your occupational duty, but dedicate your life for hearing about Supreme Personality of Godhead from his devotees. Then ye praya so jita jitopyasita istrilokyam. Then one can easily conquer the Supreme Lord. So same thing Prabhupada is saying, fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing path of experimental knowledge, one has to give up. Gain knowledge by surrendering unto Krishna and surrendering unto devotees. Like that. So next verse is very important.
Tevai vidantyati taranti cha devamayam. Strishudrasonasabara apipapajivaha. Yadyadbhutakramaparayanashilasikshaha. Tiryagjana apikimushrutadharanaye. Vidantyati taranti cha devamayam. Strishudra sona sabara api papa jiva.
Strishudra huna sabara api papa jiva.
Yadyad bhutakrama parayana sila siksha. Tiryagjana api kimushruta dharanaye.
Tiryagjana api kimushruta dharanaye.
Tevai vidanti atitaranti cha devamayam. Tevai means they will certainly know the Lord. Vidanti means they will know the Lord. Not only that. Atitaranti cha devamayam. They can even cross over the maya of Supreme Lord. They will know the Lord crossing over this maya. If they are nirvilikam devotees. So, even if they are stri, woman, sudra. Sudra means loban people. Sri Shudra, Huna Shabara. Huna Shabara means they are like tribal kind of people. Right? Api Papa Jeevaha. Although they have committed so many sinful activities or they have taken birth in families of sinful people, still they can be delivered. Yad Jadbhuta Krama Parayana Sila Sikshaha. What is the process of deliverance? Adbhuta Krama Parayana means one who has surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who performs wonderful activities. So if one takes training from them, Sila Sikshaha. Siksha means training. Sila, behavior, character. If one takes training, how to behave, how to conduct oneself from great devotees who have surrendered unto the Lord, and even if they are Stri, Sudra, Huna, Shabara, whatever they may be, they can be delivered. They can understand the Lord. Vidanti, Atitaranti cha devamayam. They can cross over the material existence also. So, Tiryagjana. Tiryagjana means even non-humans also can be delivered if they take shelter of pure devotees. Api kimishruta dharanaye. If this is the case of Stri, Sudra, then Tiryagjana, what to speak of Shruta Dharana? How to speak of devotees who are accustomed to hearing the glories of the Lord. If you already have a taste for hearing, then you are the best candidate for devotional service. Even if one does not have taste for hearing, even if he is a Stri, Sudra, Huna, Shabara, Papa Jiva, or Tiryagjana, still he has hope. What to speak of those who have taste for hearing? That's the point here. So what is the means of deliverance? Shila Sikshaha. Siksha, training from pure devotees. So this is emphasizing on training of pure devotees. So question, where and whom to surrender? Krishna is invisible. If Krishna is not visible, whom to surrender? You are always saying Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. Who is that person? Where is he? I can see only in photograph. I can never interact with him or see him or speak to him, get any reciprocation from him. So answer is, if one is sincere in wanting guidance, Lord will send a bona fide devotee. He can go back to God. Dhruva Maharaj could not see the Lord, but he knows from his mother, he came to know that there is Lord, and he can give you millions of affection of millions of mothers, and he can fulfill everybody's all desires. So then Dhruva Maharaj believed it. He had a lot of faith on it. Then he went to search to the Lord. Although he is unable to see, then immediately the Lord had sent him Narada Muni. Narada Muni, one of my devotees is trying to search me with great determination. Go and help him. So Lord sends that way. So no need of any external material qualifications. Because Dhruva Maharaj is a 5-year-old boy. Prahlad Maharaj was born in the dynasty of demons. Gajendra was an elephant. And what else? Gopis are simple village girls. But they are all great devotees, is it not? So, the material qualification is not actually important. Sugriva says, na janmano nam mahatona saubhagam, nava na buddhis, na akritis tosha hetuhu. Janma is birth. Na janmano nam mahatona saubhagam. Saubhagam means beauty or opulences. So, Sugriva and Hanumanji and all the other Angada, Nala, Neela, etc. All these people are monkeys. Jambavan was a bear. But still they have become an object of Lord Ram's satisfaction. Not by their beauty. Monkeys are not considered the most beautiful creatures of this planet. Bears are not considered so beautiful or opulent. So none of the external qualifications, if you just take external qualifications, they will get 0 marks or maybe less marks. Not even pass marks. But Krishna, Ram gave them 100 marks each. My devotee, greatest devotees. Jambavan, Hanuman, Sugriva, all this. So, what is needed to gain Lord's favor is devotional service, not external qualifications. So, if one takes shelter of any bona fide representative of the Lord, who is as good as the Lord himself, then it is more easy for him to approach the Lord. So, realization of science of God and relief from useless struggle for existence. So, not at all difficult for a willing candidate. So, we need to have Sarvatmana Ashrita Pado Yadi Nirvyalikam. This is the important line. Sarvatmana Ashrita Pado Yadi Nirvyalikam. Without any pretense, surrender. Don't hold back anything. Apparently, you make a show of surrender, but internally one will hold on to so many external things. So, initial days, you cannot expect such unalloyed surrender right from day one. But one has to understand that that is our lofty aspiration. 47th verse. Shashvat prashantam abhayam prati lobha prati bodhamatram shuddham samam sadasata paramatma tattvam. Shabdo anayatra purukaraka van kriyartho maya parityabhimukhe cha vilajjamana tadvaipadam bhagavatah paramasya pumso brahmeti yadvidurajasra sukham vishokam.
What is realized as the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally void of all disturbances and fearless. He is complete consciousness as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He is the principal, primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruity activities, and in whom the illusory energy doesn't stand.
So far he emphasized on how one has to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, and that surrender is inspired by the Lord's mercy and by taking shelter of his devotees. That's what is the point so far in the last 7 verses. Now, in the 47th verse, he is enumerating the qualities of the Lord, qualities of the Absolute Truth in his 3 aspects. So this is the description of Paramatma and Bhagavan and Brahman, and establishing Bhagavan as the ultimate face. So you can see 47th verse, the 6 lines are describing all the 3 aspects of Absolute Truth, Paramatma, Brahman and Bhagavan. So, Shashvat Prashantam Abhayam Shuddham Pratibodhamatram. So, these are all qualities of Paramatma. He is Shashvat Prashantam, very peaceful. Abhayam, fearless. Shuddham, pure. and Pratibodha Matram, he bestows knowledge and Samam, he is equal to all. Definitely Paramatma is equal to all. Then Brahman, he is full of unlimited happiness, free from grief and indescribable by words. It is the formless aspect of Bhagavan. Bhagavan's effulgence. So effulgence you may not find a proper form. Then Bhagavan is Supreme Personality of Godhead. His Swarupa is inexpressible by words. Maya, being ashamed of him, cannot stand before the Lord. Same thing we read in the initial cantos, first canto, 7th chapter. Mayamcha yadabashrayam. Maya is behind the Lord. So like that he enumerated the qualities of absolute truth.
Maya also can't stand before him. What speak
of? Correct. It comes in somewhere in 5th chapter. Right? So, this impersonal Brahman realization understanding is the initial phase, first step. So, light is distinct from the counterpart, darkness. Light has variegatedness seen by those who are advanced. But the source of light is Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a very brilliant example in the third canto to understand it. Everybody is approaching the Supreme Lord only, but his different phases. Now, they will get different understandings of the Lord. Bhagavan is complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatma is his partial expansion, partial representation. And Brahman is his effulgence, bodily effulgence. Now, when a train is coming, from a distance you will only see the sound and smoke of the train. But when it comes little closer to the platform, you will see there are some bogies and there is an engine like that. But when it comes right on the platform and stands, you can go inside the train and then see your co-passengers and the berth and your seat and fan and then toilets and so many details you can see very keenly. That is Bhagavan realization. So it's like every time we are seeing the same object train, but you are getting different understandings depending on where you are standing. So Prabhupada gives an example of milk. If you take a glass of milk and if you see it through your eyes, you will see that it is a white substance. And if you touch it with the milk, touch the milk with your hand, you may perceive that it's cold or hot. If you smell it, you will get some sweet fragrance or foul smell, whatever it may be. And if you hear about it, oh, this is packet milk or powder milk or patmeda milk or whatever, you will hear its glories, good or bad points. These are all approaching the milk with four senses: nose, then ears, eyes, and touch, skin. But what is the best way of taking advantage of that milk? Tongue. Just put it in your mouth. So while putting in your mouth, you may smell it also, you may touch it also, you may see it also. You can do all those things. So drinking the milk is equal to Bhagavan realization. Touching it or seeing it or hearing about it is all other realizations, Paramatma or Brahman. So the complete realization of milk is when you drink it, when all senses are satisfied. That is Bhakti Yoga. If you approach the Lord through devotional service, you will see Him face to face. If you approach the same Lord through meditation, you will realize Him as Paramatma. If you approach the same Lord through mental speculation, you will see Him as Brahman. Now in the monsoon, sun is not clearly visible. Right, you go out, you can't see sun properly, like in summer. But can you make out it is daytime? It's daytime or night time? But you can't see the sun, how can you say it is daytime? Huh? Sorry? Rays also you can't see properly. Huh? Sunlight is there. Rays are not so distinct. Sun globe is not very distinctly seen, but sunlight is seen through the covering of clouds. Clouds are blocking, not the sun, our vision of the sun. So when our mind is filled with the clouds of mental speculation, the maximum perception of sun is only sunshine. You can see sunlight here. Sun, oh, this daytime you can make out, because clouds are blocking. But when the clouds of mental speculation are removed from our mind, then you can see the sun bright in the sky. So by mental speculation you can approach only Brahman. Right? By meditation you can only maximum see Paramatma. But by performing devotional service, you can see the Lord face to face and interact with Him and then receive His reciprocation. Like that. But in all cases, we are approaching the same person. We are trying to realize the same person, but in different capacities. Same milk. Milk is same. Milk will not change. But if we are approaching it through our nose, we will only get its fragrance, which is also a fact. Brahman is fact. Brahman is existing. Lord's effulgence is there, but it is not complete understanding of the Lord. So milk fragrance is there, fragrance is fact, but it is not the complete advantage of just taking milk is not sufficient. Taking fragrance of the milk is not sufficient. To get the real advantage of the milk, you can take it. There are all some byproducts. While drinking the milk, you can also smell it, that's fine. So now if you go to a hotel and ask him, get me a glass of milk, he will charge you only when you drink it. Right? If you see the milk, he will not charge you. He will not give you bill, right? If you touch the milk also, he may just say, hey, why are you touching? He may say like that at the moment, but he will not give you a bill with GST or VAT. Or if you smell the milk also, he may chastise, but he may not give you a bill. But you will be given bill when you drink the milk. Right, when you go to a hotel, right? Similarly, what does it mean? The shopkeeper understands that you have taken complete advantage of the milk, so you have to pay now. But if you are only seeing the milk, you have not taken complete advantage of it. So he will not charge you. Similarly, if you are having Brahman realization, you are not taking complete advantage of Supreme Lord. Only if you are performing bhakti, you are taking complete advantage. So in that case, bill will come. In this case, realization will come. Okay.
You said by mental speculation we can realize Brahman. But we have previously entered without mental speculation, we cannot realize God. So
you cannot realize God completely. But like
Brahman is also a realization of God.
See, Brahman, we can understand. A Brahman realized person means like when someone is trying to understand the Lord through mental speculation, at the max he can see only, he can understand Him as an impersonal entity. He's impersonal. So by speculation you can perceive of the absolute truth as impersonal. That's what Brahman realization, that's what I meant. Right? You cannot get the personal aspect of the Lord. You can definitely, speculation is what? Oh, what is there in here? What is there here? How is this tree existing here? There must be someone there. So like that, oh, there must be some supreme power existing somewhere. So something like that, you will get a vague glimpse of existence of some truth beyond your conception, beyond what you can conceive, right? That's like impersonal, all-pervading Brahman. So to that extent one may realize. That also is a little high thing. It's difficult to describe it also. Yeah, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur clarifies it. We can take from there.
The qualities of Paramatma and Bhagavan, like, they should be similar because
there is overlap. All these are qualities of same absolute truth. There is an overlap. So, but Bhagavan will exhibit them completely. So, whatever qualities are there in Paramatma and Brahman, they are qualities of Bhagavan also. But Paramatma's qualities are restricted to these. Eternally peaceful, fearless, pure. Only these qualities are Paramatma, but he cannot do leelas. Like Leela Avataras, right? So Brahman, it is full of unlimited happiness, free from grief and indescribable words, formless aspect of Bhagavan, but Brahman cannot do leelas. The effulgence cannot act. So like that. But Bhagavan is also full of unlimited happiness. Bhagavan is also peaceful, also fearless, also pure. All these are applicable to Bhagavan, but not all are applicable to Brahman and Paramatma. So, sense gratification in the spiritual world is uninterrupted. In material world, senses used for personal satisfaction. In spiritual world, senses are used for the purpose for which they are originally meant for. So, in the spiritual world, everybody serves the Lord. Okay. Next 48 verse. Sadhriyan niyam ya yatayo yama kartahetim. Jehyuh swarat ivanipana khantiram indra.
In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation or meditation. As performed by the jnanis and yogis, one gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well.
So Indra is the source of rain, he did not dig a well. So similarly, these jnanis and yogis, they have to give up their paths at one stage. They cannot give them ultimate realization. 48th purport, Prabhupada writes, who is Indra? He is the controlling deity of cloud and rains. So devotees who have attained their ultimate goal of life, they don't have to do this mental speculation to find nature of God, his activities, etc. They can just perform devotional service and understand everything. Vedeshu, Igneshu, Tapasya, Cheva, Dhaneshu, Yat Punya Phalam Pratishtam. So when one performs Bhakti Yoga, he gets everything that other people also get, and he will get much more than that. Right? So one gives up such process like Indra foregoes the trouble of digging a well.
Deheswadhatu vigabenu visiryamane Vyomena tatra purusho na visirya teja.
The personality of Godhead is the supreme master of everything auspicious, because the result of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are abided by the Lord. As such, he is the ultimate benefactor. Every individual living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the inhalation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body.
So here Brahmaji says Bhagavan is the supreme. Sasreyasam abhivhur Bhagavan yatosya. So Bhagavan is the supreme Lord, and not Brahman and Bhagavan. Ultimate benefactor is Bhagavan. Ultimate realization of milk is to drink it, not to touch it, not to smell it. That way. So someone who is drinking the milk need not bother about other things. He is not even conscious that he is seeing the milk. His focus is on drinking the milk. So when someone is serving the Lord, he is not so bothered about the effulgence of the Lord. All the effulgence is right there. You are directly interacting with the person. His effulgence is also there. But you are not so much conscious of that effulgence. You are focused on interacting with the person. That way. So devotees are never advised to speculate upon the nature of the Supreme Lord or artificially meditate on void. Material body develops only by the desire of the living entity. Next, this means that the devotees of the Lord should not perform yoga or jnana for attaining their result, namely prema. So, thus, he concluded, Brahmaji concluded the description of Bhagavan, established him as the supreme, even in comparison to Paramatma and Brahman. You can take this 50th verse. Soyam te bhitastata Bhagavan Vishwabhavanah Samasena Harir Nanyat Anyasmat Sadasajayat.
My dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is creator of the manifested worlds. Without him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and nominal existences.
So, he glorified the Supreme Lord. Without Hari, there is no other cause. So, yam te abhitastata Bhagavan Vishwabhavanah. He is Vishwabhavanah. He is the creator of all manifested worlds. So, one should not deprecate the Supreme Lord for creation of miserable world, just as one may blame the king for the creating prison cell. Will anyone blame the government that, oh, you have created prison, what is this nonsense going on? You need not create only, that is full of troubles. Yeah, if you are not blaming a king for creating a prison cell, why do you blame the Lord for creating this material world? This is also like prison cell only. It's your mistake that you have entered this prison, not Lord's mistake for creating this material world. So one needs to understand that Prabhupada gives this nice analogy. Lord is always anxious to get the fallen souls back to Godhead through his scriptures and representatives, incarnations. Even through frustrations also he will give a message. This world is full of miseries. Are you sure you want to stay here? You can come back to me. He keeps on saying that. Every difficulty that we are facing in our life is a message of Krishna that we should not stay here. Come back. It's difficult here. Come back. Come back. He's constantly giving that message. Why? All these three categories of miseries. Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika. But we are not getting that message. Okay. Then he gives scriptures. Scriptures remind us. You can't understand by your experience. You want a purport? See the scripture. Oh, then also you can't understand? Okay, I'll come as incarnation and perform my leelas, blissful leelas. At least see there and get attracted to it. This is how you are supposed to be. Why are you rotting here? So there's a lot of description of Krishna's incarnations. And then he will send his representatives, gurus. Come on, my dear representatives, go and educate these fallen souls. They will come and remind us. Others will come and remind us. Then also we don't take it seriously. So by various ways, Krishna is trying to educate us that this material world is not a fit place for you to live. Better come back. But the living entity has become so stubborn that he does not want to come back. Next, 51st verse.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yenme Bhagavatoditam Sangrahoyam Vibhutinam Tametad Vipulikuru.
O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of His diverse potencies. Please explain this science yourself.
So after describing this entire Bhagavatam to Narada Muni, Brahmaji says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavatoditam. This Bhagavatam was directly spoken to me by the Supreme Lord Himself. So Sangrahoyam Vibhutinam. So this is Sangraha. It's the accumulation of Lord's diverse potencies, Vibhutis. So I have spoken this to you. Now what is your duty? Tvametad Vipuli Kuru. Now you expand it. I have given you a zip file. Now unzip it. And open what is there in the zip file, compressed file, and then distribute to people. Like that. So Vipuli Kuru, expand. So now, this is the way of parampara. The Acharya will give the process of devotional service or the message of the Godhead in a certain form to his immediate disciple and request the disciple to expand it amongst people. Then he has to expand it and he has to find the ways and means to communicate that message to as many people as possible in this world. So like that. So same thing Brahmaji is doing to Narada Muni. Narada Muni, you expand it. So Bhagavatam in a nutshell is spoken by the Lord in just 6 verses. Chatushloki Bhagavatam, and before that there are 2 verses, right? So all these verses. Now Brahmaji is speaking that to Narada Muni. The ripened fruit of Vedic tree drops from one hand to another without being broken by suddenly falling from high branch to the earth. Directly from the top of the tree, the fruit falls down, it may break. So it will come from one branch to another branch. All these branches are acharyas. Then directly it's given to people. Then we can take it in the right form. Otherwise, if we try to get the fruit directly from the top branch by throwing a stick, by throwing a stone or something like that, it will fall off and it will break. So if we try to understand the scripture with our own personal endeavor, without the help of Guru, without the help of Bhaktivedanta purports, without the help assistance of people who can explain this Bhagavatam to us, then we may not get the fruit in its original form. We may get a damaged fruit. Getting right? It's like throwing stone in a ajab. Then you will get, it's broken. Like that. So now when it comes from one branch to another branch, on each branch acharyas are sitting. They'll pluck and then give to the next acharya. Then they will relish and give. And the fruit doesn't reduce. This fruit is not a ordinary fruit. When one person eats, it's gone. Khatam ho gaya. Stock khatam. Not like that. It will increase. Even when each acharya is biting, the flavor of the fruit will increase. The increased flavor will come to the next acharya. Then next acharya. Like that, it will come in our hands so that we can relish. We can improve ourselves from our fallen condition. 52nd verse.
Yathaharo
Bhagavati
Gadam Bhaktir Bhavishyati
Sarvatmanyahiladhare
Iti Sankalpya Varnaya.
Please describe the signs of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Hari, the super soul of every living being and the sumanbunam source of all energies.
Please describe the science of Godhead with determination.
Yatha haro bhagavati ranam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatma nekhiladhare sankalpya.
Sankalpya is determination. Varnaya, describe. So you should describe with determination in a manner by which it is possible for human beings to develop devotional service. Rinam bhaktir bhavishyati. These are the two things that he has given. One is rinam bhaktir bhavishyati. The ultimate result is that people should develop devotional service. Second, what is your process of doing it? Sankalpya, with great determination. If you are determined to give them bhakti, then they will accept bhakti. Like that. So the Lord is Sarvatmana, super soul of every living entity, and Sammambanam of all energies, that is Akhiladhare. Nice verse. Yathaharo Bhagavati, then Sarvatmani Akhiladhare. Third line gives two qualities of the Lord, Sarvatmana and Akhiladhara. So Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and scientific presentation of the man's relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is spoken by Bhagavatam. So before Kali Yuga, there was no need of a book. Brahmaji spoke to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni understood it and then he remembered it. Done. But abhiyasari. Someone has to speak, and someone has to note down, and it's already there in the book also. It's already there in the book, still we cannot read and understand. Right? Till someone explains. So, as Kali Yuga is progressing, the capacity of people to assimilate the message, although it is presented in lucid manner, will reduce. because of distractions. So many distractions. If you want to sit and study the book, just within just 3-4 pages only, you have unlimited distractions. Somebody will give a phone call, somebody will send a message, somebody will call you for something else. So it's very difficult. Pehle, intellectual capacity is so poor. Even if you are given 2-3 hours continuously, you sit and study. Still, no external force may distract, but internal mind will distract. Right? But in those days, just by hearing once, people will understand it, realize it, and they can repeat it. So, he may gradually become forgetful of eternal relationship. So, for them, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is the torch to see things in proper perspective. Yes, torch to see things in proper perspective. It's like Pradipika, Pradipa. Atitirshatam tamondham. What is that? Yasvana bhava makhila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepam. Adhyatma deepam is the transcendental torch light that gives you knowledge about the soul and super soul. That is Adhyatma deepam. Next, last verse. Now, this last verse, now Prabhupada writes one more important point. Bhagavatam, for a sincere student, he can understand simply by attentive hearing and regular reading. Attentive reading and regular hearing, these two are most important for understanding of Bhagavatam. See the last sentence, it should never be heard from a professional Bhagavatam reciter who earns livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience. Therefore, unless one hears the science of Godhead from a bona fide representative of disciplic succession, for one to understand the theme of the science of Godhead will be a difficult job. So, last verse of this chapter, very crucial verse for that sets the right understanding of the understanding of Viratrup. Or Viratrup is basically the manifestation of Lord's external energy. It's not an incarnation of the Lord manifested by internal energy. You don't find a planet of Viratrup in the spiritual world. Right? Viratrup is there only in the material world. It's basically external energy of the Lord, form manifested by external energy. So, why we have to study this? Is there any need? Brahmaji described so many Leela avataras. Before that, what did he say? I have described to you Viratrup. So now I'll describe to you something more exciting. What is that? Leela avataras. So Leela avataras are more exciting than this Vishwarup. But why there is a lot of description of Vishwarup in the Bhagavatam? If it is not as exciting as Leela avataras. You can directly start with Krishna Leela, right? Putana avatar, then Sakatasura, like that. Why so much is given? The purpose is mentioned in the next verse.
Yathaharau Bhagavati Mayam Varnayato Mushyam Ishvarasya Anumoditaha Srinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Mayayatma Namuhyati Mayam Varnayato Amushya. If one glorifies this Maya, Maya means external energy of the Lord. Amusha is different to the Lord. Ishvarasya anumoditaha. Thus appreciating the Supreme Lord's external energy, then what will happen? That is about describing. Then second, Srinvataha Shraddhaya Nityam. If one also hears about the functionings of Maya with great Shraddha, the result is Maya Yatma Namuhyati. One will not be illusioned by Maya. One will not be bewildered by Maya. By understanding how Maya functions. That is the result. Why the description of this entire material creation is given? He could have directly spoken about the spiritual world in Goloka. This is the geography. This is how the Goloka planet structure is. This is the construction or architecture of the buildings there. He is describing the universal architecture of the material universe. So, how is it formed? What is the reti? What is the cement? What are the bricks of this material universe? that is Mahatattva, then 23 elements, 5 senses, 10 senses, 5 knowledge senses and 5 working senses. And there are 5 tanmatras, sense objects. So there is amalgamation of all these 23 elements. And Garbhodak Sai Vishnu enters there and all the planets would manifest. These are all basic ingredients of creation he is describing. So nothing about spirit there. It's all matter. So if we understand how this material world formed, how the external energy of the Lord is functioning, then one will not be illusioned by Maya. One will not be illusioned by that external energy. Oh, this is how it is made. So now, when we see this nice building, one may get attracted. Oh, this is such a comfortable place. I can live here. I can stay here. I should get the papers of this building on my own. So this is the constant meditation of materialistic people. They want to own some land. They want to make some house. They want to have so much property on their name. They are constantly endeavoring to claim this material world as them, as theirs. Proprietorship, enjoyership. They want to enjoy this material world. They want to become the proprietors of the certain aspect of this material world. It could be like 10 acres land. It could be like 5 cents of house. It could be one small apartment. It could be some possessions or some money or some other positions, etc. But this is all temporary. As soon as Mahavishnu breathes in, saap chala gaya, everything is gone. Everything becomes zero. Everything is dismantled. So all this is, this whole, all the bodies of the embodied souls and all the material objects and houses and other construction that you are attached to, they are all formed by a combination of these material elements which are originating from the Supreme Lord's external energy. And as soon as Mahavishnu inhales, all this will be dismantled. That's why this whole creation process is there. Almost in every prayer also they come. Most prayers. Even the Lord is described as creator, maintainer and destroyer in most of the prayers. So why so much of description of Maya of the Lord? Why can't we directly describe about his internal potency? But for us to not get illusioned by this Maya, we need to understand how it functions. What is its origin? What is its destination? Again, it goes back to the Lord. So, transcendental, the Lord's activities in association with diverse energies, different energies, should be described, appreciated, and heard. Varnayata means described, Anumodita means appreciated, Srinvata means heard. These three things we need to do in accordance with the teachings of the Lord. Then one will not be illusioned by the Maya. So Lord's activities in relation with external and internal energies are equally good. One who is not completely free from the clutches of external energy should hear about this. One cannot directly jump to Rasa Leela. Now on the other hand, considering that these descriptions are on a lower level, are Maya, what is this creation process, Mahatattva, Ahankar, false ego, 23 elements, Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, Kshirodhya, too complicated. Let's hear about Rasa Leela. That's more easy to relate. Krishna is performing Damodar Leela, doing some mischief in Vrindavan with Yashodamai, or stealing the garments of gopis, or performing some dancing performance in the middle of the night. So these are all very attractive and human beings can relate to it. So I also dance with my girlfriends. I also do some mischief in my home. My mother must have chastised me in the childhood. So it's very easy to relate with those Krishna's human pastimes in this world. But it is equally easy to bring that God to your human level and offend him if you don't have this background of Krishna's greatness. If you don't understand that an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, Mahavishnu is creating this material world and that is so opulent and complicated, we will directly jump to the source Krishna and then discuss his activities. One can only become Sahajiya. Generally. Right? Generally, that Sahajiya tendencies may manifest, or one may minimize the situation of God. One may minimize the position of the Lord. That's what happens. You see, many people, Indian people only, they will say Krishna's character is not proper. Ram is better than Krishna. Who is Ram, who is Krishna? Both are same. That you understand. Some say Vishnu, Krishna, Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is an incarnation only. Did you read the whole thing? Vishnu is a Purushavatara and then he is coming from Krishna. So unless we understand the sweet greatness of the Lord, we cannot actually appreciate the sweetness of the Lord. Yeah, when a small child is performing some activities, they are definitely sweet. One can appreciate them, oh, Krishna is stealing butter, and then people may laugh. But to actually appreciate them on a deeper spiritual plane, one needs to have the background of this creation and Mahatattva, the greatness of the Lord, we need to understand. Without understanding the greatness, we cannot jump into the sweetness. That sweetness will become bitter later. One may minimize the position of the Lord. So, Vidura, now why this, in the fourth chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asked, I want to know about the external activities of the Lord, means activities of external energy of the Lord first, before I understand his leelas. Why did he say that? Vidura also says, first describe to me about Purushavataras, then I will hear about Leelavataras and Krishna's other pastimes. Why Vidura said that? Because they are all showing us examples that we need to understand the activities of Lord's external energy first, understand the creation part. Then we can speak about Ashraya Tattva. Atra sargo visargasya sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara ishana gatho nirodho mukti rashraya. You know what is this? These are all the 10 topics of Bhagavatam. Sarga, visarga, sthanam, poshanam. So why 10 topics are there? There could be only one topic. Ashraya. Ashraya is shelter of all topics. That is Krishna. That is majorly described in the 10th canto. One cannot jump directly there. One has to go have the background of these first 9 topics. That is from creation to liberation. Mukti. From sarga to mukti. So pure devotees think Rasa Leela and Purushavataras, creation, maintenance and annihilation, all these are very wonderful topics, good topics. Conditioned soul shouldn't imitate the activities of a liberated soul. 9 cantos prepare ground for hearing the 10th canto. So Prabhupada is rejecting request for directly hearing 10th canto. Okay. Thank you. We'll take a break now. We have completed the 7th chapter. Chapter 8, text number 1. Rajovacha Brahmana Chodito Brahman Gunakhyane Gunasyacha Yasmai Yasmai Yatha Praha Narado Deva Darshanaha.
Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, how did Narada Muni, whose hearers are as fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is without material qualities and before whom did he speak?
In the last chapter, Brahmaji concluded saying that Narada Muni can expand these teachings of Bhagavatam everywhere. So, here Parikshit Maharaj is asking, how and to whom did Narada Muni explain this knowledge of Bhagavatam, the qualities of Krishna? That's how this chapter began. Gunakhyane gunasyacha yasmai yasmai yatha praha. To whom and where? Narado devadarshanaha. So Narada is described as devadarshanaha because if you see Narada Muni, it is as good as seeing some god. And devadarshana can also mean, if you Narada Muni had the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord, Deva. Deva Darshana. He had Darshan of Deva. That's why he's called Deva Darshana. So like that in various ways. And even Devas also become very glad to see Narada Muni. So like that various interpretations are given to this word Deva Darshana. This word comes somewhere in 10th canto also. There acharyas give this kind of explanation. So instructions imparted by Narada Muni are as good as those of Supreme Lord. Because Lord told Brahmaji and Brahmaji told Narada Muni. So whatever Narada Muni is telling Brahmaji, whatever Brahmaji is telling Narada Muni is what exactly the Supreme Lord told Brahmaji. So whatever Narada Muni has heard from Brahmaji is as good as hearing from the Supreme Lord only. So there is no difference. That is a transparency in the parampara, disciplic succession. That is the test for a bona fide spiritual master. There is no difference between the Lord's instruction and spiritual master's instruction. So when Lord is described as aguna, that does not mean he has no qualities. That only means that he is beyond these material qualities of goodness, passion and ignorance. That's what aguna means. Second verse.
एतद्वेदितुमिच्छामि
तत्त्वं तत्त्वविदां वरम् हरेरद्भुतवीर्यस्य कथा लोका समंगलः.
The king said, I wish to know Narasan's concerning the Lord who possesses wonderful potencies are certainly auspicious for living beings in all planets.
So etad veditum icchami, I am very eager to know how Narada Muni explained Bhagavatam to people and to whom. Tattvam tattva vidam vara. And my dear Sukadeva Goswami, you are knower of everything, right? So and harer adbhuta viryasya katha loka sumangalah. The narrations of Lord's Adbhuta Virya, wonderful prowess, he is Lokasumangala, can create auspiciousness for the entire creation. All planets in the creation become very auspicious if the Lord is glorified. So I want to know. So Bhagavatam is for everyone, is for everyone in every planet, and it is auspicious for everybody, devotees and non-devotees. So one has to hear it to get free from material clutches. And one has to make sure that his hearing is through bona fide disciplic succession, not from any professional narrator who may take some money and then speak the scripture to earn his livelihood. That Prabhupada very clearly mentions repeatedly. Third verse.
Kathayasva Mahabhagam
Yathaham Akhilatmani Krishne Nivesha Nisargam Nisangam Manastyakshe Kalevaram Kathayasva Mahabhaga Kathayam Yathaham Akhilatmani. Kathayasva means please speak. Mahabhaga, oh fortunate Sukadeva Goswami, please speak. Yatha aham akhilatmani Krishna niveshya. You speak in such a way that I can place my mind upon Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? Krishna niveshya nissangam. Nissangam means without any attachment to anything in this entire material world. Nissangam. So I want to put my mind in Krishna's narrations without any attachment. Manahatyakshe kalyavaram. So I should be completely freed from material qualities. Thus, tyakshe kalyavaram. In that disposition, I should be giving up my body. So with such great renounced spirit, with absolutely no attachment towards anything of this material world, exclusively he is wanting to hear from Sukadeva Goswami about Krishna. So that makes him a perfect receiver of Krishna's mercy. To be fully engaged in hearing the transcendental narration described in Bhagavatam means to constantly associate with the Super Soul. Reading Bhagavatam means associating with Krishna. Reading Bhaktivedanta purports means associating with Prabhupada. This one needs to be convinced about. Right? So hearing is as good as constant association of Krishna. And constant association of Krishna means as good as being liberated from the qualities of matter. So one only should have that attention and consciousness while studying Srimad Bhagavatam. The opportunity is given. Serving the deity means serving Krishna. But what is the mood? So one needs to work on that mood. The opportunity is given. Even many times, only because of mercy, one may not be qualified enough to directly worship the Lord or to study Bhagavatam, but by Prabhupada's mercy, many people got access to it. Reading Bhagavatam means associating with Krishna. The opportunity is given. Right? So, that opportunity is basically mercy and not qualification. So, one cannot say that I am qualified to worship the deity. I am qualified to study and speak Bhagavatam. I am qualified to speak Bhagavatam. So, I am qualified to do this. I am qualified to do this. It's only mercy. Right? Are we qualified enough to associate with Krishna? That's what Bhagavatam study means. That's what Bhagavatam hearing means. That's what worshipping the deity means. It's all associating with Krishna. So, constantly associating with the Supreme Lord Krishna means to be liberated from the qualities of matter. Because Krishna is like sun, and when sun is shining, this floor which you are seeing outside, that cannot remain wet. It will become dry. Similarly, when someone is associating with Krishna, with that pure sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirvyalvikam, the wetness of contamination cannot stay in him. The floor cannot remain wet when fan is on. What to speak of when sun is on. Remove the chitri, remove this roof. Directly this floor, wet floor is exposed to sun. In 5 minutes it will become totally dry. Similarly, our consciousness which is wet with so many anarthas cannot remain wet if one is rightly associating with the sound vibration of Bhagavata. Like that. It has that potency. But do we have that quality to accept it? Problem is, while the floor is becoming dry by exposure to sun, we keep on pouring water. That's the problem. Radhananda Maharaj explains in one of his classes that to be aloof from material contamination not only requires that we take the right medicine, but we should also do patya, diet. Medicine is needed, diet is also needed. If diet is compromised, medicine will not work. We take the medicine of holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam to purify our contamination. But parallelly, if we also put more contamination of material vibrations and then cultivate the negative thoughts and envious feelings and eat abominable foods, eat that which is not offered to the Lord, see objects which are not supposed to be seen, and interact with people who are supposed to be potentially avoided, materialistic discussions, prajalpa. So it's like feeding the anarthas. It's like pouring water. You just kept the wiped floor for drying under fan or sun, and then you're pouring water constantly. So how will it become dry? That way. So these few verses are very deep verses. Hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam performed by a professional man is different from transcendental hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit was a realized soul. The fruitive materialist is not a realized soul. He wants to derive some material benefit from his so-called hearing. Okay. It is the duty of a saint, of the saint, to hear Bhagavatam from a self-realized soul and not be deputed by professional men. Prabhupada is repeatedly saying that. So Parikshit gave up all connections with his kingdom and family, the most attractive features of materialism, but still he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be free of such bondage also by constant association of the Lord. So one may have given up so many such attachments of this material world, but still some lingering attachments are there somewhere within the mind. To get rid of that also, one has to constantly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the effect of hearing Bhagavatam? Next two verses very emphatically describe. Beautiful verses. Srinvata Shraddhaya Nityam
grinatascha svacheshtitam kalena nati dirghena bhagavan vishate hridi shrinvata shraddhaya nityam grinatascha svacheshtitam kalena nati dirghena भगवान विशते हृदि श्रृण्वतः श्रद्धया नित्यम इफ वन हियर्स दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम श्रद्धा विथ फेथ नित्यम रेगुलरली सो नॉट ओनली हियरिंग फर्स्ट लाइन इज अबाउट हियरिंग सेकंड इज गृणतस्य स्वचेष्टितम स्वचेष्टितम मीन्स बाय वन्स ओन एक्टिविटीज एंड एंडीवर्स चेष्टा मीन्स यू हैव टू वर्क यू हैव टू एंडीवर यू हैव टू पुट सम एफर्ट Grinatascha svacheshtitam means you have to accept the message of Bhagavatam by your own activities. Means you hear the great principles described in Bhagavatam and you endeavor to apply them in your life. You have to imbibe them, you have to assimilate them, you have to absorb them. They have to manifest in your actions. Your hearing has to manifest in your action. That's what this message, this Bhagavatam is saying. So one has to take it seriously by one's own endeavor. So hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing all the characters and principles and philosophy of Bhagavatam is definitely very important, but equally important and if not more important is trying to apply the teachings, trying to imbibe those teachings. You are hearing Srinivata Shraddhayanithi Moha to regularly hear, but are we regularly hearing? Do we miss hearing Bhagavatam if couple of days if you don't hear? So like that. Bhagavatam says you have to serve, you have to chant like this, you have to read like this, you have to conduct yourself like this. So one needs to make an honest attempt. Overnight no one can become a pure devotee. Overnight no one can assimilate all these principles and then act on that platform. It's not possible. But there should be an honest endeavor towards that end. So just hearing the values and speaking the values and discussing the values without a sincere, honest attempt to imbibe those values has no value. So one has to focus on the application part also. That is grinatascha svacheshtitam. Svacheshtitam, very important word. Then if that is there, kalena na atidirghena bhagavan vishate hridi. So, very soon, kalena means by passage of time, na ati dirghena, not very long. Very soon, Bhagavan vishate hirdi, Lord will manifest in the heart of the devotee. Well, Lord is already there, right? He is Paramatma. So, Lord is already there in the heart of every living entity, what to speak of devotee. But why this Bhagavatam verse is saying that Lord will manifest in the heart of the devotee if he hears and if he endeavors to imbibe this principles what he is hearing. So, Lord is there in the heart of every living entity in the capacity of super soul, a person who writes commentary. This fellow has done this mistake. So, I will note down. Oh, he has done this pap, I will note down. He has done this good activity, I will note down. He has this desire now, I will note down. And when the right time comes, I will remind him of this desire. Okay, he doesn't want to do this, let me make him forget this. Smattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. See, this is all happening. So, what the Paramatma does is a neutral observer and witness and recorder of all our actions and desires. He would just record, keep the record. He will maintain the database of all our records and of all our desires and activities. But when we say Bhagavan vishate hirdihi, he does not act like a neutral Paramatma in the heart. He will act like Bhagavan who would reciprocate on a personal plane. That's the effect of regularly hearing Bhagavatam and endeavoring to act on the principles of Bhagavatam. Right? So when you are jumping from this building, Paramatma will give you a commentary. But when you are jumping from this building, Bhagavan will give his hand and it'll pull you up. Right? This is the difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan.
Paramatma will note down, this fellow attempted suicide. Right? And he will communicate to Yamaraj at the end of life. This is all the goof-up he has done. Give him the right destination. And Yamaraj is perfectly in sync with Paramatma. So, Yamaraj is the assistant of Paramatma. Paramatma will tell him the track record and Yamaraj will execute what punishment we have to give this fellow. Like that. But Bhagavan does not do like that. Bhagavan does not act like a neutral observer. He will be personal, right? He is more personal. So, he will immediately... what is this? Kira. It doesn't do anything. We are used to all this.
Centipede.
So, persons who hear Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter seriously will have Lord manifest within their hearts within a short time. Cheap, third grade, materialistic devotees desire to see Krishna personally without the prerequisite qualifications. Bhagavan hi kya? Dikhao. Then I will believe, then I will chant. That's what people are asking. In my college, when I was beginning to chant and all, one person said, even if you show me one person, right, one person who has seen Krishna, then I will take his name. Otherwise, don't push me, don't force me, don't even tell me about it. I never saw anyone who has seen God. Why do you unnecessarily say God, 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 God? What is this happening? Like that he said. He's coming from a very religious background, probably he was a Brahmin also. So, his name is Vishwanathan. He was, both of us are doing ME, Master's degree in IISc. Like that, confused, bewildered. So, like that. We call him Visu. Visu. So, they should know that material attachment and seeing Krishna face to face cannot go together. He has hundreds of attachments and then you demand the Lord to see. He's not obliged. Just because you don't believe that he's there, that doesn't mean he's not there. And that doesn't mean he has to come and prove that I am who. Please acknowledge my presence. I am here. I am existing. Please don't say that I don't exist. It's very painful to me. He's not obliged to say all that to some non-believer. So, again, Prabhupada is speaking about professional reciters. They are neither self-realized nor interested in liberation of audience. How much impact your speaking can make on the audience depends on how much you are the well-wisher of the audience. Then only your speaking can make an impact on them. If you want to just increase your popularity, name and fame and prestige and get some material benefits of donation, remuneration, dakshina, etc., it cannot have any positive impact on the audience. So, the impact you can make on the audience is directly proportional to how much you are a genuine well-wisher of that person. That's why Prabhupada is condemning professional reciters hundreds of times. Why he has to spend his valuable lines in these pages of Bhagavatam criticizing them? Because they are purely selfish. So, Bhagavatam, recitation and selfishness cannot go together. You have to be a selfless well-wisher of people. You have to be greedy to connect people to Krishna. Then your recitation of Bhagavatam will be effective. Next. Nityam?
Srimata Sada Nityam. You polish a lot of Nityam and Sada. Who could be more actually? Because we actually.
Oh, Shraddhaya Nityam. Shraddha is one and Nityam is second.
So Nityam is regularly somewhere during actually. But the Shraddha, what type of Shraddha actually? No, I mean, the level of Shraddha, how can define that? Also, I really am fully actually, you know, each and every word or whatever.
Shraddha basically, at least I can give one perspective. Just believe that this process is effective. If I do this, If I hear Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, that will definitely uplift my consciousness. Have that much faith. And within that understanding, whether you hear every word attentively or whether you kind of take some notes of most striking points and meditate on them, or just analyze everything on an intellectual plane, that's all. That depends on the individual flavor. But what is applicable to everybody is having faith on this process of Shravanam. So this is effective. This will definitely reunite me with Krishna. This will definitely remind me of my lost connection with Krishna. So that understanding and that faith one should have. It may not happen right now, it may happen after 1 year or 10 years or 1 decade or 1 lifetime or 10 lifetimes. But if I stick to this process, that is very beneficial to uplift my soul. So that much faith one should have. Because Prabhupada has given it. Bhagavatam is recommending it. Bhagavatam cannot give you false promises. It may not manifest to you immediately. The result of the promise may not manifest immediately right now in front of your eyes. That depends on one's own purity levels and then one's own determination and sincerity in accepting it. I may not be very sincere, but if I attempt to follow this, if I believe this Bhagavatam's promise, then eventually I'll get the results. Like that. So, this is Bhagavatam's promise.
Which sometimes happens, like that for me actually I'm saying, maybe others may not, that you know, actually maybe seeing the classes, you know, the regular classes, sometimes mind actually, you know, put in mind, say, oh, he is a good speaker, he is quoting, he is reading things, you know, actually, because of past experience, oh, he is not a now, you know, taking the topics in different way, you know, some material collection is gone, so people are going to listen also. You know,
correct.
Absence, you know, this person not reading, or studying. And he will tell, you know, something, you know, just time pass like that, or cheat or not, you know, this type of thing might come.
That we cannot avoid, on a practical level, we cannot avoid that. That we can't be sentimental also, right? Without any background, one cannot have such feelings. Something, there is something wrong from both sides, it could be. But when the person is speaking, give him the due respect. You may not find it very... Everybody is not a charismatic speaker. Everybody is not a very eloquent in his language. Everybody may not have the depth of that understanding. Not everyone could be shastric or scholarly. But they are sincere practitioners. If he is a sincere practitioner, he is sharing, you can hear. If it is a regular class. But if he is giving seminar somewhere, you need not run there and then do it if you don't have that much into. Right? Then whatever is happening in the temple on a regular basis, officially, that we should definitely give attention. Even if he is like a new person, new speaker, your presence would encourage them to speak Bhagavatam. They may not be speaking perfectly, like some experienced devotee who is like a decade or 2 decades around. Right? He may be a beginner. He started speaking just 2 months back, 1 month back. Yeah, what he will give? Not that way. Your presence will encourage. When you start speaking, then he will sit. That will be encouraging to you, right? So it's like machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. So now this verse we need to constantly remind ourselves. Tadva visargo janatagha viplavo yasmin pratishloka mabadhavatyapi. Every line and every word may not be perfectly composed in one's speech or one's writing. But if it is a glorification of Krishna done with sincerity, that will create revolution in the life of everybody around. So we may think on an external plane sometimes that, you see, this person is not so charismatic, not a very eloquent speaker, he doesn't have very good presentation skills, and all this we may think, analyze also. However, what clicks a person who is hearing, we don't know. Paramatma network is very strong. It's more inconceivable. Paramatma network is much stronger and much beyond our comprehension, that what we can understand. So sometimes the most spaced out class, most sleepy and sloppy class that a person has given could create a transformation in the life of a person who is sitting in the audience. That could be the turning point in his life. We have real life stories also sometimes. Radhanand Maharaj is like this in one of his classes. And sometimes the most eloquently prepared, thoroughly researched and very shastrically potent class could only say, hey, kya chal rahe, kya bol rahe. Like that people may say. That may not inspire people also. Getting right? So, it's not only from the speaker's perspective, it is also from audience perspective also. So, it's Krishna's network is so strong that he makes a person speak the right words that this person needed to hear at that context, and that could be a turning point in his life of Krishna consciousness. So we cannot minimize, we cannot judge, we should not judge. If you are so uncomfortable to sit in someone's class, you personally can skip, which is not the etiquette, right etiquette. But if you are so bothered, then you avoid so that you don't offend him. But that does not mean that we should minimize his position because he is like this, he is like that, he is not speaking very, he is doing time pass, as you said, time pass and all. That may not be a right attitude towards attending Bhagavatam classes. Sometimes one may have personal issues with some other devotees. Because of those personal issues, we may not accept his Bhagavatam message also when he is sitting on Vyasasana. These are all day-to-day practical life issues. But what we are discussing here is what Parikshit is saying, what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. So he is on a certain level. That's what. Granatasya Swacheshtitam. With our own endeavors, we try to imbibe these. So now by hearing this, then we will get an impetus to go and sit in someone else's class. Encourage.
Kalena na ati dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Next, fifth verse. Quick question.
When we say Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, that we know that Paramatma is already there, sitting in our heart. But again, Bhagavan is again going and dwelling on the heart, manifesting itself. So Paramatma could have presented on the same thing. He could have sent enlightened us, guided us.
Understand, Paramatma and Bhagavan are not different. They are different features of same absolute truth. They are different features of same absolute truth. He is a partial manifestation. He is a complete manifestation. Now he does not act as a partial manifestation as a neutral observer anymore. He will act like a complete manifestation as Bhagavan to reciprocate. He was a neutral witness. If one is a materialistic person, Paramatma will just act like a neutral witness. Mattaha smritir jnanam abohanam cha. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesha arjuna tishtati. Bhramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani maye. Upadrishta anumanta. So, in that capacity he may work. Let's see what will happen next. What Bhagavan does, we will see in the fifth verse.
Pravishtaha karana randhrena. Svanam bhavasaroruham. Dhunodishamalam Krishna Salilasya Yathasharat Pravishtah Karna Randhrena Svanam Bhavasaroruham Dhunodishamalam Krishna Salilasya Yathasharat.
So Bhagavan Vishate Hridhi, he enters the heart of the living entity. Of the devotee that we have heard in the previous verse. Now, pravishtaha karna randhrena. How does he enter? Karna randhrena, through the ear holes of a sincere hearer, Lord will enter. Svanam bhava saroruham. On the saroruha, on the lotus of the devotee's bhava, emotions, Lord will sit. The devotee has developed emotions towards the Lord by sincerely hearing about Krishna. He has developed feelings for Krishna. then he will sit on the lotus of those feelings, lotus feelings, lotus emotions. Lord will sit there. So Paramatma is not getting into emotional exchanges. He is an observer. So here Pravishta Karnarandhrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishnaha. Dhunoti Shamalam means he will completely clean all the mala contamination in the heart of the devotee. If one is sincerely hearing the same, something similar to what we have learned in the first canto, second chapter. How does it begin? How does the series begin? 16th verse? Srinvataha? Susrusha Sriddhana Sivasudeva Katarjuhi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punyatirthani Shevanaha. Next. Tunya Sravana Girtanaha Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrut Satam. Same thing. Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrut Satam. So Lord will enter and clean up all the anarthas in the hearts. How to clean the anarthas? Here Bhagavatam, simple. So how example is given? Salilasya yatha sharat. So sharat, in sharadritu, in the autumn season, so there is also some kind of small drizzling that will clean the muddy water ponds, because they have become so muddy in the rainy season. When there is a lot of rain, the waterway will become muddy. We have discussed about this in our monsoon retreat also. The sound incarnation of Krishna enters the heart of self-realized devotee and sits on the lotus of his heart. Lotus of his loving relationship thus cleanses. Prabhupada makes a brilliant statement here. A single pure devotee can deliver all the fallen souls of the world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. A single pure devotee. The example Prabhupada elaborates, in the rainy season muddy waters are there. In autumn there is a slight rain that can cleanse. A tiny effort of adding chemical can clearly clear only one tank. So one tank of water, you just put some chemical and then it will make it little clean. But autumnal rains can clean everything. Similarly, the methods employed by Jnana and Yoga Marga, they can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service can cleanse the hearts of generations and generations of people. Now Prabhupada, one pure devotee, he wrote these books. And generations of devotees are taking advantage of it and their hearts are getting cleansed. So Prabhupada, that's why he is saying, a single pure devotee can deliver all fallen souls of the world. So the effect of the purification of the heart of one devotee, which is done by sincere dedication to the process of hearing, can continue to influence, you know, hundreds and thousands and millions of people for all generations to come. It doesn't, his devotional service is not restricted to oneself. On the other hand, one yogi, he will sit and then perform some meditation and then he will get some, he does Ashtanga yoga and he will get Ashtasiddhis. And then he will only become Siddha. Right? His practice, how much will it benefit others, is quite restricted. And he does not get satisfaction himself also. Just by attaining Ashtasiddhis, he will get satisfaction or what? By attaining Krishna Prema, one will get satisfaction. But by doing Ashtanga Yoga, you get Ashtasiddhis. Will it give you ultimate bliss or what? Unless that person gets an opportunity to exhibit his siddhis, there is no maja in getting the siddhis. Now someone will get the siddhi of walking on water. I mean, he will just keep on enjoying that or what? He will go to 1 crore liter pond, that like width is whatever, 50 feet, 60 feet. He will just walk on, ting, 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 like that. He will just walk and then enjoy happily. That doesn't actually give him enjoyment. If there are 100 people or 1,000 people standing on the bank of that lake and observing him and clapping him, then he will get happiness. Right? So the actual happiness is in fan following, when you have Siddhi. And Siddhi Kami's actual happiness is in his fan following. How much people will adore and respect and clap for his siddhis. The actual happiness of a muktikami is in what? In his relief from all the anxieties of material life. Relief, shant. Tension nahi. I don't have to meet any deadline. I don't have to do this seva. I don't have to do exams or whatever. That is mukti. Desire for an anxiety-free life, that is mukti. So that no activity, inactivity. How long he will be inactive? He may think that I am a mukta, but how long he will be inactive? He has to fall down to do some activity. Because a living entity by default cannot stay idle. It has to be active. It has an active principle. So like that, whatever results that the other processes are giving cannot give you ultimate happiness. But yatma suprasida, the complete satisfaction of the self is possible only by practice of bhakti yoga. You know what Bhagavatam says? All the other processes also can give you some satisfaction. Whoever got siddhis, they will get some satisfaction if there is clap. If there is less claps today, to his exhibition, if someone comes and then claps, say if there are only 10 people, he will get some satisfaction. If there are 100 people, he will get more satisfaction. Next day it will become 1,000. He will become ecstatic. Next day again it will become 200. Then he will go, why are you not going? My market is coming. So like that he will start feeling insecure. Right? Like that karmi also, how long he can enjoy? Can he enjoy continuously, perpetually enjoy with Rambha, Urvasi, Menaka? All that will happen or what? As soon as his pious creeds are exhausted, he has to come down. So no other process can give perpetual satisfaction for the rest of eternity, only bhakti yoga. And there are no other types of practitioners in the spiritual world also. You don't find a karmi trying to enter heavenly planets in Goloka. In Goloka, you don't find people sitting and meditating on Paramatma. You definitely don't find people sitting in Goloka and then speculating what could be the source of this material world. I want to merge in impersonal Brahman. Nobody will have such desires. Only bhakti yogis are there in spiritual world. There are no ashtanga yogis. There are no jnana yogis. There are no karma yogis. Certainly there are no atheists in the spiritual world. So by Prabhupada's mercy, we are given entrance into a process that will ultimately take you to the spiritual world, giving you a permanent job profile. All other practices will give you only temporary designations, temporary results, but this is a permanent thing. Prabhupada is writing like that. Cleansing of polluted heart by other methods can simply cleanse one's own heart, but devotional service can clean generations of people. It's a permanent thing. So Prabhupada gives examples of Narada Muni, Sukadeva Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he himself also. So by sincere hearing, one realizes the constitutional relationship in five rasas. Situated in transcendental loving service, one has to preach and deliver the souls. Accumulated material lust, etc., is cleansed by personal endeavor of Paramatma. Right? So culture of knowledge and mystic yoga may be alright for time being, but like cleaning small quantity of water, small quantity of water needs some chemical that is sufficient. All the sediments will settle down, but when there is a lot of contamination, then these things will not happen. These things will not clean. Now Prabhupada gives this example, right, to extend it. To clean one tank of water, you take little chemical and add it, and all the things will just settle down, all the sediment, and then water will be existing clean for some time. But you take one bamboo stick and then start agitating it. Whatever settled down came up, will come up. Is it not? So similarly, by practicing other methods like yoga, jnana, karma, etc., sometimes the mind may settle down. But with the slightest agitation, it will come up again. But only by bhakti yoga, one can have a permanent control of mind. This is clear? So, our Parikshit Maharaj asked this question. This purport is very important. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question in the 6th canto. How to protect these people from entering hellish planets? Then Sukadeva Goswami immediately said, they have to perform atonement. As soon as there is sin, they have to perform karmakanda, atonement. If they don't atone, they will have to go to hell. Then Parikshit immediately asked, what is the use of this atonement? It's like elephant bath only. Elephant will take bath, and after coming out of the reservoir, it will throw dust on itself. No need. Similarly, by performing this karmakanda atonement, one may be relieved of that sinful reaction if the atonement process is perfectly performed, but one will not be relieved of the propensity to commit sin again. What is the use? I don't take it. Then he proposes Jnanakanda. Then Parikshit is not satisfied. Then Sukadeva Goswami himself says, it is like Venugulmam Ivanala. It's like burning bamboo bushes into ashes. Yeah, one sinful reactions will be burnt away like bamboo bushes are burnt away to ashes. But as soon as there is a right favorable atmosphere and climate and opportunity, the bamboo will sprout again. Because the root is not burnt. Whatever is visible above the ground level is burnt, but whatever is there within the ground level, that is not burnt. Venugulmam Ivanala, that will again grow. So that is Jnanakanda. Definitely better than Karmakanda. But when you do bhakti, it's like Niharamiva Bhaskara. When sun is shining brilliantly in the sky, fog cannot stand. Fog will go away. A drop of dew, how long it will stay in the presence of shining sun? That way, all the sinful activities and reactions and propensities of the practitioner of Bhakti Yoga are burned to ashes, are just evaporated by sun. That analogy he gives. So, one may control mind by other processes, but it will not stay for long. But one will get a permanent result of engaging the mind in Krishna conscious activities if he sticks to Bhakti Yoga. So, 6th verse. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam na Munchati Mukta Sarva Parikleshaham Panthasvasharanam Yatham. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam na Munchati Mukta Sarva Parikleshaha Pantaha Svasharanam Yatha. Dhautatma means one whose heart has been cleansed like this. Like what? Whatever is described in the previous 2 verses. Srinvataha Shraddhaya Nityam. If you regularly hear, then and also endeavor to imbibe those principles of what you are hearing, then Lord will enter your heart and clean your heart, and one will be completely purified. And such a purified soul, Dhautatma, Purushaha Krishna Padamolam Navinchati, such a purified soul will never leave the lotus feet of Krishna. So, Mukta Sarva Parikleshaha, he is completely liberated from all miseries of material existence. And how? Panthaha Svasharanam Yatha. Just like a traveler who has been traveling for kilometers and kilometers by walk, not by train or flight. He'll finally, when he reaches home, he'll be satisfied. Oh, I'm rested. I got rest. So after so many days of travel, so now I got some rest. Like that. Similarly, the conditioned soul also is traveling from one planet to another planet, one species to another species, one body to another body in this material existence. And finally, when he performs devotional service by hearing and goes to the spiritual world, then he is like Panthaha Svasaranam Yatha, a traveler who ultimately attained rest at his home after a long journey, troubled journey. So Prabhupada writes that a preacher meets various so-called difficulties. Nityanand Prabhu, he was trying to preach and Madhaya hit him. Jesus, he was crucified. Prahalad Maharaj, he was thrown from mountain cliffs. And these elephants were made to stamp on Prahalad Maharaj. snakes were made to bite Prahlad Maharaj. So like that, he was subjected to so many tribulations, but that did not budge them even an inch from their devotional service to the Lord. So very gladly, such devotees suffer all these tribulations in their attempts to perform devotional service and inspire others to perform devotional service. And they have no self-interest under any circumstances. So, jnanis and yogis ultimately have to give up their processes, but devotee need not, should not. So, one has to take up the order of spiritual master as sustenance of one's life. So, sustenance of one's life is spiritual master's instruction. So, traveler may suffer, but all the sufferings are mitigated as soon as the sense of family affection is remembered. Similarly, a pure devotee may also undergo so many difficulties in his sadhana, in his seva. So service, no service is so easy, easily performed. Any service has some kind of difficulties. It may be this much, it may be this much, it may be this much. But every service is associated with some kind of difficulty. But all those difficulties are compensated when we remember the satisfaction of spiritual master. Ultimately, my guru will be satisfied if I do this. Krishna will be satisfied if I do this. So, for that, to that end, a devotee extends himself, and in that extending himself only, he will be satisfied. So, Prabhupada writes here that traveling sufferings are mitigated as soon as he remembers the sense of family affection. Oh, ultimately, if I reach my family, my loving wife is there, children are there, mother is there, father is there. So once he remembers it, then, okay, let me just continue. The family spirit is there in him, although he's traveling. For example, a father goes to the market, supermarket, to purchase sabji and then rice and dal and other so many other things. He's carrying so many kilos of grocery. And like all that burden is a burden of love for him, because he knows that I am feeding my family members, my own children, my own wife and my own parents with all this grocery. So he is happy to accept all that. Same thing a sadhaka also has to do. Sadhaka also has to undergo all this austerity of so many difficulties and anxieties in the execution of his service. Because he knows, these are the services given by my spiritual master, by Krishna. So their pleasure is my satisfaction. So if a woman becomes pregnant, who has to give birth? Yes, you tell me. Who has to give birth? She only has to give, right? A pregnant lady only has to give, right? Someone else will not come and give birth on her behalf, is it not? Will someone else replace her in giving birth? Because she has become pregnant, she only has to give birth. So, giving birth is not a very happy experience, like eating rasmalai, happily, chit-chatting and then eating rasmalai or rasgulla or sandesha or utappa. It's not as easy as that. When a lady becomes pregnant, she has to undergo severe amount of pain to give birth to the child. Similarly, when a sadhaka takes up a service, he also has to put his sweat and toil to execute that service. And definitely there is difficulty. There is lot of trouble, there is lot of anxiety in executing the service. But who has to come and do that service? He only has to do. Because he accepted it. So one has to take up one's service as seriously as a pregnant lady takes up her service of giving birth to the child. That is the determination in the commitment that a sincere disciple gives to the service given to him. These are all very ideal examples. But one has to see one's practical day-to-day things, and there is definitely a scope of negotiation. A pregnant lady cannot negotiate with the child. Can you come out after 10 days? Today I am not feeling very enthusiastic to give you birth. When the suti vata is prominent and then the child wants to come out, then mother cannot stop. But there are some practical considerations, and one may get into some kind of adjustment and negotiation. But the whole thing is, the seriousness and the sincerity with which a disciple accepts that service. Madhavendra Puri was told in a dream. Gopalji comes and tells in his dream, I am just suffering in these bushes. Pujari hid me in these bushes. I am feeling hot, you come out and excavate me. Then Madhavendra Puri had to execute it. He brought the Gopal deity and then installed it on Govardhan Hill. And then all the villagers came and did Annakoot and then Abhishek of the deity. And then so much elaborate process he has to do. And he has to train so many people. He initiated so many people into Brahmanical Vaishnavism. And he employed pujaris there. And he was overseeing all the worship and then Annakoot and then aartis, etc. Dressing, ornaments. And eventually the Gopal deity got so much land and other things. I am working on Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Subodhani. 4th chapter only, so these things are very fresh in my mind. Then after that, he got another dream. Still my heat is not reduced. You go and get Malai Chandan. He went all the way. So many tolls, Vrindavan to Orissa by walk. It's not a small thing. He went via Bengal, he met Advaita Acharya at Shantipur. He initiated him. So like that, he went through a lot of endeavor to get that Chandan. So then finally Gopalji felt that, oh, you are working so hard, better offer this Chandan to Gopinathji only. I will enjoy it through his body. We both are same. So Madhavendra Puri never considered his service as burden, because that ultimately pleases Krishna. So pure devotee is also exactly in a family tie with the Lord. So he doesn't consider the difficulties he has to undergo while discharging his duties. See, pure devotee is exactly like in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affectionate tie with the Lord.
Yatadhatu mato brahman deharambhosya dhatubhi yadruchaya hetunava bhavanto janate yatha.
O learned Brahman, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you?
So now the crucial part of this chapter we have discussed. Of course, everything is crucial only. From 7th verse till 23rd verse, Parikshit Maharaj asked a series of questions. Answers are available almost throughout Bhagavatam. Some come in 7th canto, some come in 2nd canto, some in 5th canto, like that. They are there throughout. So now the rest of the chapter is only a series of questions. Okay. So some of these questions are answered by Sukadeva Goswami in the Chitushloki Bhagavatam. So in the next chapter, he quotes the conversation between Brahmaji and the Lord, Lord Vishnu. So, how did the jiva who is spiritual attain a material body? That's his question now, 7th question. So, indirectly it is confirmed that Supreme Lord makes no material changes of body, because there is no difference between the body and the soul of the Supreme Lord. But an individual soul, his body and he are different. Now, they are entrapped in the material body, conditioned souls. Their body and their soul are different. So he is saying, how such a spirit soul enter a material body? So that was his first question. Answer is given in next chapter, 2.9, first 3 verses. And it will again come in Vidura Maitreya Samvad in 3rd canto, 7th chapter. Like that. 8th, you can read the... We will not recite the verses. This is a series of questions only. You can read the translation. 8th verse.
If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whose abdomen the lotus stem sprouted, is possessed of a gigantic body according to his own caliber and measurement, then what is the specific difference between the body of the Lord and those of common living entities?
So Lord also takes up so many incarnations. Right? He has a gigantic body according to his own caliber. Garbhodaksha Vishnu's body is like throughout the universe. He is sleeping in Garbhodaka ocean, and it's like the diameter is how many? 4 billion miles, something like that. So he is like almost covering. He's not looking like a tiny, small insect in the midst of the ocean. Not like that. It's like very visibly seen. That is his size of the body. So he has all ornaments and dhoti stitched to that proportion. Right, his dhoti and his ornaments and his necklace and then his mukut, they're all of that. That's so huge. And the diameter of his crown could be like several kilometers. Gold only, not plastic. So that way. So if Lord also is assuming bodies, living entity is also assuming bodies, what is the specific difference between those bodies? Answer will come in the second canto, 9th chapter. And 10th chapter also. 9th, read.
Brahma, who was not born of a material source, but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord, is the creator of all those who are materially born. Of course, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord.
So Brahma appeared from the navel of the Lord. So Brahma's is the form of the Lord similar to the material body of Brahmaji? Another question. More or less similar to the previous question only. So, the difference between Brahma's position and Lord's position will come again in the third canto, 8th chapter. 10th verse.
Please also explain the personality of Godhead who lies in every heart as the super soul and as the Lord of all energies, but is untouched by his external energy.
Now he is asking about super soul. Which super soul? Karanodaksha Vishnu. Where does he stay? How does he lie? So, that is his question. 11th verse.
Universe.
Please explain about super soul, the Lord of energies being untouched by external energy. This is, according to Acharyas, it is Karanodaksha Vishnu. He is also super soul. He is super soul of entire material creation. Next.
11th. O learned Brahmana, it was formally explained that all the planets of the universe with their respective governors are situated in the different parts of the gigantic body of the Virat Purusha. I have also heard that the different planetary systems are supposed to be in the gigantic body of the Virat Purusha. But what is their actual position? Will you please explain that?
So he is asking about Virat Purusha. That comes in the 10th chapter, then 3rd canto, 6th chapter, and in teachings of Lord Kapila also it comes, in the universe structure also it comes, Vishumara planets, like that. Next, 12th.
Also, please explain the duration of the time between the creation and annihilation, and that of other subsidiary creations, as well as the nature of time indicated by the sound of past, present and future. Also, please explain the duration and measurement of life of the different living beings known as demigods, the human beings, etc. in different planets of the universe.
So most of these questions are answered in 3rd canto, 11th chapter, when he describes the calculation of time from atom. And other places also they appear. Next.
O purest of the Brahmanas, please also explain the cause of the different durations of time, both short and long, as well as the beginning of time, following the course of action.
Next.
Then again, kindly describe how the proportionate accumulation of the reactions resulting from the different modes of material nature act upon the desiring living being, promoting or degrading him among the different species of life, beginning from the demigods down to the most insignificant creatures.
Next.
O best of the Brahmanas, please also describe how the creation of the globes throughout the universe, the four directions of the heavens, the sky, the planets, the stars, the mountains, the rivers, the seas, the islands, as well as their different kinds of inhabitants take place.
This is all in the 5th canto, creation of universe. Next.
Also, please describe the inner and outer space of the universe by specific divisions, as well as the character and activities of the great souls, and also the characteristics of different classification of the castes and orders of social life.
Varnashram comes mainly in the 7th canto, last 5 chapters. Next.
Please explain all the different ages in the duration of the creation and also duration of such ages. Also tell me about the different activities of different incarnations of the Lord in different ages.
Incarnations. They will come in 11th canto, 12th canto. Next.
Please also explain what may be generally be the common religious affiliations of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion, the classification of the social orders, as well as the administrative royal orders, and the religious principles for one who may be in distress.
That is sadhas. There is something called apadharma. Someone is in some distress or emergency, he has to immediately go and do something which is not common for someone in his position. That is called apadharma. So there is sadharan dharma, regular. Actually, sadharan dharma for everybody is bhakti. So there is savishesha dharma, occupations according to birth, apadharma, emergency. All these are mentioned in 7th canto, 11th chapter. Next.
Kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation, the number of such elementary principles, their causes and their development, and also the process of devotional service and the method of mystic powers.
Next.
What are the opulences of great mystics and what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of Vedic literatures, including the branches of history and the supplementary Puranas?
Next.
Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Tell me also the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites, and what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense satisfaction?
So, favorable and unfavorable aspects of activities for bhakti, majorly they will come in the teachings of Lord Kapila, and also Canto 7 also is filled with some of these descriptions, that is uti, impetus. So one who is firmly situated in devotional service can very easily execute the function of life. So Prabhupada elaborates a little more on this, how one can live comfortably even in this conditioned world also, which is like playing a boat in the middle of ocean. So that depends on, one has to be dependent on ocean's mercy. So every moment there is every chance of being drowned by slightest agitation. So no one can control the whims of the ocean, but one should stick to very strong boat of lotus feet of the Lord. One shouldn't sacrifice honesty simply to accumulate wealth. A devotee's business is to earn the favor of the Lord and glorify Him and glorify the Lord in His wonderful creations. Like that, success or failure has no meaning for a pure devotee. He is a soldier in the field. He doesn't hanker. Be satisfied with things that automatically come by the will of the Lord. 21st purport, proposed purport I am reading. 20th purport also is very important. Basically, proposed point there is, a devotee gets a lot of protection, but a non-devotee or a yogi or some other person may not get that much protection. Ambarish was supposed to die when Durvasamani created that fiery demon. But the demon died and Ambarish was intact. And Durvasamani had to run away. He went to Kailasha, then Brahmaloka and Vaikuntha, and then he came back and finally Ambarish had to give him protection. That is the extent to which Lord will protect. So just as a child is powerful by the strength of the parents, similarly, although the child is innocent, For example, a 5-year-old boy is there. He is the son of, say, an MLA or some minister. And there is another 5-year-old boy. He is the son of some regular, common, middle-class man, citizen. So these two are innocent, equally innocent. They may be studying in the same school also. They may be playing in the same games also. They may be having similar mannerisms and tastes also. But this child is more powerful by the strength of his parents. And the other child is not as powerful as this child because his parents are very poor. So, similarly, a devotee of the Lord is like the parent of, is like the child of a wealthy parent, a powerful parent, an influential parent. But a yogi or a karmi or a jnani, they are like children of middle class or something like that. Of course, we are not. This is only analogy, only an example. We can't extend that minister children are great and we are not supporting anything on that level, political level or something like that. I'm just sharing Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada gave that example. Okay, 22nd, you can read.
Please also explain how merged in the body of the Lord, living beings are created and how the infidels appear in the world. Also, please explain how the unconditioned living entities exist.
Next.
The independent personality of Godhead enjoys his pastimes by his internal potency and at the time of annihilation gives them up to the external potency and he remains a witness to it all.
Okay. So, he is a witness of everything that is happening and yet he has nothing to do with anything because he is a pure spirit soul and the Lord is also pure supreme personality of Godhead. Okay, so these are the questions only. Answers will come later, all the discussions of these topics. You can just consider all this 7th to 23rd verse are just like headlines of topics that are going to come. As of now, we may not be able to relate to these questions also, some of these questions, but it's just a list of questions. Answers will come in the rest of Bhagavatam. So we'll end here.